Hey guys, it's Debbie, and I'm here with Lynn Driscoll, and we're having one of our little chats today. Hey Lynn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Debbie?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine. Lynn, I've got an observation, and I'm wondering if you can help me work this one out. I noticed that pretty much within the marketing industry, and I suppose it does happen in life as well, but let's take the scenario of the network marketing industry. People join an opportunity and they join with somebody, and for this instance, we're going to call them their sponsor. And they've joined an opportunity, they're all excited, they want to get going, they want to start using the product, they want to start making money, they want to, really dig into it. And that enthusiasm has all been, sparked, I suppose, by initially the sales letters, or maybe they've been to a meeting, that kind of stuff, and they're very, very motivated. And the sponsor starts them off and they speak to them, and they maybe have a half hour conversation on the within the first day, or the first week, and they're all ready to go, and it's all yes, I'm gonna do this. And then the sponsor or the leader obviously has other team members, and they have to work with those people as well, and they've got their own life. And the new recruit can't get to the sponsor every sort of minute that they need them, so to speak. And so then they will get to speak to them, and the sponsor says, "Yeah, do XYZ and come back to me." So the new recruit goes off and they do XYZ, they fill out the form, they do this, they do that, they speak to 10 people, and they go back to the sponsor. And the sponsor, because the sponsor's busy, doesn't speak to them straight away. So the new person just sits and waits. And they're relying on their sponsor and they're relying on their leader. Now, this could happen within the first week, it could happen within the first month, it could happen within the first 6 months. But what I've observed is that people rely on their sponsor and they don't tend to take responsibility for things themselves. So I'd like to know what your take on that is, and how people can change that or get around that, or what, well, what's your take, really?
Is this a cultural thing in this business? Is it where that it's set up for a person to sponsor somebody and it's implied the sponsor will hold their hand for quite a long period of time until they learn to walk within the business, but without encouraging them to be independent and to use their own flair and to take a risk and go for it? Because if you're going to be an entrepreneur and run your own business, you do it for yourself. It's great having people around you who are part of something very similar, and you can see what the framework is. But in order for you to run your business for yourself, in my opinion, and based on where I've come from in business, it's about you doing what feels natural for you and going off and taking risks and not waiting for somebody to show you the next step of the way. And in quite a lot of these MLM opportunities, there is a whole manual that explains everything. So it is the culture that the sponsor starts off being the good parent, showing the child how to do this, yet doesn't encourage the child to take responsibility and go off and do it for themselves.
It's interesting, and would you say that that is learnt from their sponsor? The sponsors learnt that from their sponsor. Would you, because I mean, if you are used to being in business, I think that you are able to be an independent. But there's so many people that come into network marketing, affiliate marketing, all of the internet side of things that have never been in business or run a business? And do you think it's that they should have more from their sponsor, or do you think that, you know, they're doomed right from the start? I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, perhaps it may be useful for sponsors to start thinking about how they can set up a system that just gives somebody an outline, but also encourages them to think for themselves and to work for themselves and to look at how they're going to explore their market. Yeah, to create their own marketing plan rather than expecting somebody else, you know, to say, oh, well done, yeah, you've spoken to 10 people this week, that's fantastic. And you know, for them to give them the next step of their journey.
Yeah, it's because you see some people, they get into anything, any MLM, it doesn't matter which one it is. It could be, you know, coins, it could be lotions and potions, it can be anything, and they seem to just pick it up and they run and they're off with it. And they've got a different mentality to a lot of people that are always waiting for that next step. They're always waiting for that next move. And then they get so disappointed because their sponsor is helping so many other people, and they're not able to be there every couple of, you know, minutes for them, almost like their personal secretary, so to speak, you know, the personal person that's going to do it all for them and point them right. I think they join and feel as though they should have that total step by step, and that's not really what business is about. No. Is it?
So perhaps that could be something that's misleading in selling, that's not actually allowing a person to know quite clearly what's going to be expected of them or from them.
Right. So we've kind of got two things going on, really. You've got the sponsor that we're looking at should maybe have a system set up for the people that they're introducing into their team, something that is duplicatable that they can follow. And then we've also got the expectation of the new person joining. So it's how can we think independently? What do we need to be doing to be thinking independently? Or what is it that the people that don't need to be dangling off the apron strings of the sponsor, what are they thinking that the other person isn't? I suppose that's really what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's the difference between independence and dependence. It's the difference between having the courage to be creative and see a clear market and a clear way forward, rather than, well, I'm going into this business opportunity and my sponsor's going to show me exactly what I need to do, so I'll wait until I'm trained. It's about having the courage and the conviction to develop yourself and be as creative as you can in going out there and getting what you want to see a clear market.
So that's a very, very slight shift then, isn't it, in thought pattern. It's not that much. There's not that much of a thought shift, the way I see it, that you need to have to be an independent thinker to somebody just waiting for someone to show you the way all the time? Or would you say it's much different than that?
Superficially, you're right. It's getting the right type of person in the right type of opportunity. Because there are some people who are never, ever going to be able to think for themselves, who have got a thought process where they always need to be supported in what they're doing. Yet, if there is a system put into place when someone joins, you know, that this is the basic outline of the way that the company works, for you to succeed, you will need to develop yourself creatively in how you're going to bring people towards you.
It's just something, this, you know, we're chatting here now, it's just an observation that I've seen where people constantly blame their sponsor for not being able to move forward in their business. And I don't always feel as though it's a fair judgment of them to blame their sponsor completely. and that there could be something that they could do for themselves. And so that's really what I suppose I'm exploring, because the sponsor will say do XYZ and then I'll get back to you, and if there's something else takes the sponsor away and they're not able to get back to them at that time, then the other person just sits and waits, and you know, they've not got that mentality to take them forward. So it's just an interesting observation that I had.
If somebody's blaming somebody else for not moving forward, then they're not actually taking responsibility for themselves. And usually when somebody's playing the blame game, it's because they're fearful of taking that step. They're fearful of getting it wrong. Yeah, if they're sitting around waiting for somebody else to tell them how to take the next step, rather than looking to find a way of taking the next step and just experimenting with it, that there's a fear that's holding them back.
Okay. So how could that you've hit kind of a nail on the head there, that there's a fear that's holding them back. What would you suggest if somebody is listening to this now and they can relate to what we're talking about? What would you suggest that they do to overcome those fears? And it could be a fear that's for anything. I mean, you know, I had different fears about maths, for example, and I've spoken about that over the last few months about my maths situation, which was quite peculiar. So what would they do? How would they approach their fears? What would they need to do to go forward?
Well, initially, to work with yourself, it's asking the question. If you ask the unconscious mind, I'm going to probably be repeating this over and over again. If you ask the unconscious mind a question, it has to give you an answer. It may not be immediately, but it will start to unravel over a period of a few days. So if you realise you're sitting around and you're not doing something and you're blaming your sponsor and you're thinking, well, I'm not taking that next move because I'm frightened I might get it wrong. If you write down on the piece of paper, I'm frightened of taking this next step and getting it wrong because, I'm writing a question mark, looking at the phrase that you've written and start unloading it onto the piece of paper. Because when somebody is fearful, they can quite often get stuck and freeze and not go anywhere. Taking it out of your head, writing it down, looking at it, facing it, and starting to unravel it and start to show yourself what comes into your mind as you write it down. You'll start to get a clearer picture of what it is that's holding you back. You know, it's always a way to start by asking your mind the question, you know, I'm stuck because. I'm not moving on because. Please show me the answer. And your unconscious mind will always start to show you an answer, because the mind can't stand a vacuum.
Right. Okay. That's really good. That's really, really good. So something as simple as putting the question down on a piece of paper and then allowing the mind to come up with whatever, and it can be whatever, can be the most bizarre things, because I've done this exercise with you, and we've come up with some very strange things for me. I think that's a good way forward, and it's like we've spoken about before, it's getting it out of your head and down onto the paper. It makes a lot of difference. And
it makes a huge difference, because if you've got to a point where your mind is overloaded and you're just going over and over something and you don't know where to go, it's like a stuck loop playing in your head over and over again. And while that loop plays over and over again, it will connect to a feeling. So whatever feeling it's triggering, the feeling will start to get larger and larger. And then as the feeling gets larger, the thought process gets larger. Mm. If you take it out of your head, put it outside of yourself, you are breaking the cycle.
Okay, right. I think we'll leave that one there for the minute, Lynn. Thank you very much for explaining that to us. Certainly something that we can investigate further again another time. So Thank you very much.
Look forward to it.
Speak to you again another time. Okay.